Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite movies and shows. We focus on representation and the voices that are ignored.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watson Needham. Hear my voice, yes.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm not here with my co-host Jazz, but I'm here with Abrar, aka Brown Boy Wonder. What's going on, Abrar? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's an honor to be in the Salam Nerds podcast.
Yo, we love you, man. We love having you in the comments, and like, you know, we thought we'd bring you on. Jazz was supposed to be on the episode, but Jazz did not get a chance to watch Godzilla Minus One. A lot of things going on. Jazz is, you know, doing big things, man. He's working with the Democratic Party in Texas, trying to get a ceasefire done, and he's trying to help other places in the country to get a ceasefire done. So, you know, Jazz is out there doing work. But we are here to cover Godzilla Minus One, and you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a fun time. Brown Boy Wonder, how have you been?
I'm good, man. This movie kind of like came out of nowhere in the movies.
It did.
So I'm glad it's like being released more now in the theaters, since it's catching on the box office. It's going crazy there.
It is crazy when you think about the fact that this movie came out of nowhere at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are saying it's their favorite movie of the year. Like, what a sleeper hit. Like, it just came out of nowhere. And the budget for this movie was so small. It is insane. Like, the whole budget for the entire movie is less than what Robert Downey Jr. made on the third Iron Man. That's crazy.
The movie Saw 7, Final Chapter, it made like 20 million. Oh, the budget was 20 million. So this was less than this? It's crazy.
Yeah. And the CGI was not bad. It was not bad at all for the little money that they had.
It was decent.
Yeah, I thought it was decent too. A lot of cool things about it. Although, you know, it's the 70th anniversary of Godzilla. I had no idea this year was the 70th anniversary.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is so crazy, man. This movie is definitely one of my favorite movies of the year. I did not expect it to like it that much. I just heard a lot of good things about it on TikTok. And I was like, you know what? Let me go check it out. I went to go watch it. There was nobody in the theater. I was by myself. I had my note bag, taking my notes, and I'm just like, all right, let's see how this goes. And then, like, I'm coming to, like, oh, shit, this is not even in English. And I'm like, oh, it's a period piece in 1945. And I'm just like, interesting. I did not expect that. I thought that was pretty interesting. But you know what? I'm like, you know what? One of those people where I'm just like, I just go with the flow, man. We just got to, you know, like, if people are saying a lot of good things about it and just good word of mouth, chances are it's a good movie, right? And this movie definitely had a lot of good word of mouth. And I was like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's watch it. And I went in, no thoughts, head empty. And I left so emotionally wrecked. It was so good. I did not think I would get so emotional on a Godzilla movie. Yet here we are. Like, I was literally, like, in tears by the end. Because I was just like, this is such a good human piece, right? Yeah. It's like, yes, it's a Godzilla movie, but there's this human element to it that is so relatable and done so well that, like, you can't help but get so invested into some of these characters.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, you get the spectacle and then you get the drama. And
yeah,
the drama part is the most important part for me, at least.
Absolutely.
And it covers both of it, so it's amazing. There's a lot of movies that came out in 2023. This is my top five.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Like, I think if it wasn't for Spider-Verse, this would have been in, like, my top. Like, it would have been one of the best movies. but it was definitely the best sleeper hit of the year, for sure, for sure. Before we get into spoilers, maybe we'll just go around and talk about, like, you know, what were your initial thoughts of the movie?
So, like you said, it was, you know, it's a Japanese movie. You're expected to read subtitles. I'm fine with that. I'm fine reading subtitles. I know a lot of people don't like reading subtitles or like watching a foreign film.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with it. My initial thoughts, man, it's a master, I want to say masterpiece. I mean, there's a lot of masterpieces out there.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect movie.
Yeah.
It has drama. It has the horror aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Some comedy in there as well. I mean, I think it's a movie for all ages, to be honest.
For me, I don't mind watching a movie with subtitles in a theater. It's just I can't watch something with subtitles in my house. Uh-huh. Because, like, I will go on my phone and I'll get distracted and then I'll look up and I'll be like, oh, I just missed, like, the entire episode of Narcos, right? It's like one of those things. So, like, I cannot watch a sub version at home. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the theaters, you know, you're not supposed to be on your phone. You're not supposed to be talking to people. Like, you immerse yourself in the movie. So I have no problem watching a sub version. Also, I grew up watching Bollywood. So, like, same. You know, watching a sub movie wasn't that narrative. Yeah. Even though I understand the language, I would still be just reading along because it just, you know, made things easier. So I don't mind a movie with subtitles that's in a different language in a theater. It's just watching it at home is where I get stuck.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're like chewing on food, right? You got to put your subtitles there. But
yeah,
I was fine with it. This movie kind of reminds me of like the 2014 American Godzilla with Bryan Cranston, like at least the beginning part.
Yeah,
it came to like the human part, but the rest of the film was like was only focused on Godzilla, not really on the human connection. But it kind of reminded me of that ground level of Godzilla. So
the way I see it is, this is a Godzilla movie the way Jaws is a shark movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's like they don't show you so much of the fish, but they do show you the horror of being attacked by a fish, right?
Yeah.
So, or a shark. So that's how I see this movie. And I don't know. I thought it was really well done. When it comes to the 2014 one, like, yeah, they tried to do a human element too, but like, they're like, okay, we'll give you guys a little bit of a human element, but now we're going to go with the huge, like, spectacle. And now Godzilla's got to fight Mechagodzilla. And Godzilla's got to fight Kong. And we want to see Godzilla fight other people. And, like that stuff is nice. It's fine. Like, I didn't hate Godzilla versus Kong. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But this was different, man. Because that's, like, a Marvel movie. This is, like, an actual movie, right?
This, like, could be, like, an Oscar-worthy film, to be honest.
I agree. Like, I would never believe that, like, a Godzilla movie could be a Oscar-worthy film, but, like, I could see this, especially with, like, the money that they put in there. Like, that's crazy that the quality of this movie. There were some things that, like, you know, I thought were a little over the top. Like, I thought the acting was a little over the top, but that's because, like, if you're not into Japanese culture, whereas like anime and stuff like that, like, it could be a little off-putting. Like, I just recently started getting into anime, so like, there's scenes where the guy is just like being so dramatic and overacting about his like trauma, and I'm just like, I get it. Like, I get it. This is how they do it in anime, so I get it. Whereas I think some people that are possibly American and have never watched a movie like this, they could be like, why is he acting this way? This is like a style of acting that they have in Japan, and it's very common in anime, where like the guy's like, the reason I have this trauma is because of this, and they're like hitting themselves on the head, and they're like really being like, you know, a little bit like doing too much. It's what you would say if it was an American movie. But in a Japanese movie, I get it. Like, it makes sense to me, because I've seen other Japanese movies where they talk like this and they act like this.
Yeah, I mean, what's it called, the overdramatic style of acting for Japan, that's common for them. At least for a Godzilla movie, I think you gotta be hysterical. I mean, there's a freaking dinosaur killing up everyone, so I'm like,
that is true. That is true. I mean, he was more hysterical about his like dreams and his post trauma, but like, I get it. So let's go into it, because I really want to talk about it. So now that we've talked about the movie, our initial thoughts, our reviews, we're going to go into spoilers. So it's been 10 minutes. If you don't want to be spoiled, this is where you give us a like and then come back after you have watched the movie, because we're going to get into it. So as we said, it does take place. It's a period piece. It does take place in 1945. And this guy who we're introduced to, he is a kamikaze fighter, which I'm calling a pilot. Mm-hmm. And he comes to this island, and you think he's getting like mechanical repairs and stuff. But turns out there's nothing wrong with his plane. Turns out he's a deserter. And he's like, oh, y'all want me to kill myself? Bet. Psych. And then he just like dips. And, you know, some of the other guys were like, hey, we get it. Like, you know, it takes a certain type of person to be a kamikaze pilot. But as they're like, you know, going about their day, they get attacked by Godzilla. And they're like, hey, some people in the island have seen him before and they've called him Godzilla. So this is not like the first time people have seen Godzilla, but it's the first time like this army has seen Godzilla, right? And they try to like fight back and hide from him. And they're like, hey, you have to get to this plane and shoot him. It's the only way. And this guy, again, doesn't do it. He goes to the plane. He gets there. He can't do it. He can't bring it to himself to shoot at Godzilla. And because of that, everybody dies.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and this one guy lived and he blames him for it. And I get it. Like, you know, he was a coward. He didn't do it. But then when I'm thinking of like, no, like, would that machine gun really have done anything to Godzilla? Probably not.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. He probably would end up dying. And it probably wouldn't have made a difference. But I understand where this guy's survivor's guilt comes from now, yeah. Right? He did the kamikaze and he left. And he didn't do whatever he had to do there. And then when he had a chance to kill Godzilla, again, he froze up and was a coward. But he still survived. He survived while everyone else didn't. So he's got this, like, survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
And what were your thoughts about the first scene on the island when all that stuff happens?
Man, when you see Godzilla show up, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you see him eating up that you bit that one guy out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard. I was like, oh shit, this is a real, this is happening. And also it's like a small Godzilla as well. It's not the actual size. It's like a little baby Godzilla. But yeah, I mean, it's basically like a massacre of all these guys, and this guy trying to shoot him, and he can't. I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah.
So he fleed, and yeah, I kind of feel bad for him. His only role is, he's a kamikaze, right? Kamikaze pilot. He's only goes to basically commit suicide while going battle. And he didn't do that.
He didn't do it.
So he keeps moving on.
Yeah. And then as he leaves, he ends up getting, you know, gets to go back home. And the guy gives him a bunch of pictures. And he just takes them and he looks at them. At first, I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought it was money. I thought it was something. But you don't realize it's pictures until later on. And you realize that it's pictures from all the men that died, like pictures of their families and stuff like that, right? Which is adding to his survivor's guilt, because now he has this like physical image of like all of the people that are going to suffer because he didn't save their husbands or their dad or whatever, right? Which is definitely getting into his head. And then when he finally gets home, he finds out his parents are dead. Everyone's kind of dead. But his neighbor is like, wait, weren't you a kamikaze pilot? Why are you here? You should be dead. If you went through with it and killed yourself, then this wouldn't have happened and my kids would have lived. If more people in Japan killed themselves for the cause, we wouldn't be where we are today.
No.
And she was really, really rough on him. And he's like, he has this shame, right? And shame and honor is like a big deal in Japanese culture. So it's one of those things you think is really, really interesting. And I was just like, yo, fuck this neighbor, yo. Like, I was like, the fuck is she telling him that he should have killed himself? I thought that was so wild. But then, like, I thought I was going to hate this neighbor, like, legit. But she ended up being all right. Like, which is why I really like this movie, because there are characters where you're like, yo, fuck this lady. And then, like, at the end, you're like, oh, look at all this work she's doing for him. Like, it's so funny. What were your thoughts about him going back home and seeing the devastation?
I mean, it's terrible, right? You see everyone's homes are gone. There's, like, destruction. He's carrying the survivor's guilt. How can he, like, live on? You see him, like, sleeping on the side of the road sometime. Yeah, his neighbor was a little, you know, onto him, but later on, she's more of like a redeemable character.
Yeah, and like, I don't blame her. She did just lose her entire family, right? She lost her kids. Like, she is devastated. She wants to lash out at this man. Like, I get it, man. I'm not blaming her.
No, I get it too.
But then he runs into this lady who has this child, and they have this altercation, and like, he ends up with his child, and he's like, the lady just left him. And I was just like, whoa, what a horrible mother. She just left his child with him. But you find out that she didn't just leave it. She was just hiding out and looking from far away until he was alone so she can grab the child again. And it turned out it was not even her child. It was a child of a stranger who, like, she asked to take care of. Like, someone asked her to take care of her. And she was like, yeah, I'm going to take care of this baby. I just happened to be in this spot. But this baby is not orphaned, and I'm going to take care of her. Like, I thought that was really incredible. Kind of made me thought about, like, what's happening right now in Gaza, right? Like, people, little babies are being orphaned, and they're being taken care of by, like, just people in the community. And, like, oh, I was like, oh, this is happening right now. It really got me. Like, I got so emotional at this scene.
Yeah, it's pretty relatable as well what's happening right now. It's like, right now, they're more of like a makeshift family because they're not really married or that's not their kid.
Yeah.
So they're just surviving on what they have, which is like, again, like I said, the human connection that was missing in these Godzilla movies. We have it here.
I totally agree with you. And like, there is a thing where like there are a lot of people who love movies about found family. There was like a guest of ours who was adopted. And he's like, those are like my favorite types of movies. He was like, that's why I love Fast and Furious. That's why I love all these other movies, because it's about family that you're not born into. You kind of like found family. And this is exactly what we have here, right? It's like a found family. Like, she's not related to the child. He's not related to the child. They're not like in love with each other yet. And then they end up being this little unit of this family for survival. I think that was really, really cool. And, you know, the fact that, like, they don't know how to raise a baby. So what happens is, like, the neighbor comes in and the neighbor starts helping them. And, like, it's just this amazing, like, culture and community, you know, that, like, other cultures have that, like, we don't have. Like, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah. That's the kind of, like, portrayal they're trying to show us. And I think that was really, really cool. I really love seeing that about this culture.
Yeah. I love to see it, you know, because that's what you want to see. Like I said, the human connection.
Yeah, exactly. So a few years have gone by, and what happens is, you know, they're kind of like this family unit now, and he's like, I'm going to go find a job. And he's like, it's a little bit dangerous. And she's like, no, don't do it. Don't do this dangerous job. He's like, it's fine. You know, I was part of the military. It pays really good. Yeah, it's a little dangerous, but it'll be fine. And we need like money. We need money for food and the baby and stuff like that. So she agrees. And then he ends up going on this like rinky dink wooden boat. And he finds like this crew of people on this ship. And his job is to basically find these mines, and you cut these mines up, have them come to the surface, and then you shoot at them to blow them up. Because what happened is, because of the war, both Japan and America dropped all of these mines in the ocean, and they're magnetic mines. So when a boat comes through, they attach to the boat and they blow up. Very cool. I didn't know about any of this stuff, but because of that, they have to be on a rinky-dink wooden boat instead of like a big metal boat. But then he has the job and he's, you know, starts getting paid and it seems like things are coming together for this guy. What were your thoughts about meeting the crew at the boat?
They're like, what, you know, like the movie Jaws, right? You have the that crew. That's what it reminds me of. You have that one old, I don't want to say he's old, but he's like the scientist. You have the scientist,
the doctor,
there,
yeah.
Doctor, and then you have the kid, the teenager there, and then you have the other guy. It kind of reminds me of the Jaws crew. But yeah, I love that, you know, the ensemble of characters coming together.
Yeah, and you see the kind of relationship that they have because, like, they visit him at his house. They have dinner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they'll say things like, oh, you have such a great family. And then the little baby was like, daddy. And he's like, I ain't your daddy. And I was like, bro, like, come on, man. You don't got to be like that. And they're like, you know, why don't you make her your wife? You know, you seem to like each other. Why not become like a real family? And he doesn't want to. And it's not because he doesn't like the child. It's not because he doesn't like her. It's because he doesn't feel like he deserves it because he was a deserter. He has survivor's guilt. He has all of these issues. And he has these dreams at night. And he dreams about Godzilla at night. And because of that, like, he is, you know, not rewarding himself with something that he really, really wants, which is the family. What are your thoughts about that?
Those, his dreams he had, it was kind of scary. It was not you want to be in, but yeah, like you said, the whole thing of him, like, not wanting, like, not saying that she's my wife or my kid, it's just him, like, you know, regressing those thoughts, like, you know, I don't want to bring them together to this whole thing of my, you know, hysteria. So,
right.
Well, I mean, also, like, that kid is so adorable.
Yeah, the kid's so adorable. I was like, yo, why are you going to say that? And also, like, I don't know how they got that little girl to cry on cue, but there were some scenes where she had to cry. And I'm just like, yo, she's really crying. What did they do? Did they kick her? Like, did they pinch her or something? Because, like, that wasn't acting. They slapped her or something because she was legit crying.
Instant waterfalls.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was really, really funny. All right. So a few more years have gone by and now he has money. He buys them a nice house. He's chilling. But then he has, like, these dreams. And then he tells the girl, I was a kamikaze pilot. He didn't tell her for all these years, but he finally breaks down and tells her that he was a kamikaze pilot, which is why he has, like, all of the shame. And then basically they go out to the river and for the first time ever, we see the return of Godzilla. And he's the only one that sees him. He's like, yes, I've seen this before. He was known as Godzilla. And they show, like, a ship that he completely destroyed. And he's like, the reason he knows Godzilla is coming up because all of these, like, deep sea fishes started, like, turning up, which is, like, the sign of, like, Godzilla, which I thought was really cool. Like, it's, like, this scary thing. Mm-hmm. And then Godzilla attacks them. And I'm like, they do such a good job with the special effects here. Because what I really like about Godzilla is, like, some of the other Godzilla movies, Godzilla looks like a dinosaur. He looks like a T-Rex. This one, Godzilla looks like Godzilla. Like, Godzilla has a face. Yeah. Like, he has a certain look on his face, right? And this Godzilla looks like that, which I really, really love. And I was just like, yes, this is Godzilla. He doesn't have that long, like, beak face of a T-Rex. He has this, like, round face, right? And I really, really liked that. I thought that was really, really cool. Another thing I thought was really cool was the music. Like, when Godzilla comes, they do the music. And, like, I don't know if you listen to hip-hop, but there's, like, this hip-hop song called Simon Said that uses that beat. And then I heard that, and I was like, yo! Playing that, I was like, I just kept thinking they were going to drop the bars. I was like, I thought they were just going to play and start playing hip-hop. I forgot that they sampled the original Godzilla music. I legit thought they were going to bust that with some hip-hop. And I thought that was really, really funny.
Oh, man. Dude, this Godzilla, I forgot to mention, this Godzilla is a complete asshole.
Yeah.
He is the most terrible, terrifying thing I ever see in my life. Especially, there's some scenes where he just stands still, like in the original movies.
Yeah.
That part, that freaks me out. Like, what the hell is he going to do? But other than that, like, his face, as you said, his eyes.
Yeah, his
eyes. Crazy.
Yo, he's got the crazy eyes. No, man, I totally agree with you. I thought it was just so cool. And then, like, I love the fact that, like, it's in the water, so you don't see a lot of him. You see just enough to make you afraid. You're like, where is he going to pop out with next? What is he going to do next? And I thought it was really, really cool. And then as they're running away from them, they get one of the mines, and the mine goes in his mouth, and they blow up the mines, which like really fucks this shit up. And I was just like, damn, that's so cool. But for the first time, you get to see like this motherfucker got mutant healing factor. Like, he's like an X-Men.
He's Wolverine.
He literally like his mouth just blows up. Motherfuckers regenerating. I'm just like, what the fuck? I didn't know Godzilla could do this.
I didn't know either. Oh man, I was like, how can you defeat this guy? Hell yeah, man. That's crazy.
He's got the X gene, bro. I thought that shit was so good. It was so really, really cool. And then the other thing that I really kind of like is they show the atomic breath, and I love the way they show it. They show like the back of his scales starts to like, you know, get bigger and they glow blue, and then he just goes brah, and you just see it destroy everything. And what is really cool is right before you hear it destroy everything, it goes kind of silent,
yeah,
like an atomic bomb, like in Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
I love that. I thought that was so dope. What are your thoughts about the atomic breath and his healing factor?
Yo, I was like terrified. I mean, that the way I saw, also like when he was suspending the atomic breath, like you see the scales moving up, his blue scales. Yeah. He is literally a atomic bomb.
Yeah,
and it makes sense that his atomic breath is an atomic bomb.
Right.
So yeah, everything makes sense here. And like, dude, like, I don't know how I want to be near this Godzilla, man.
No, man, I don't want to be near him either. He is not a good time. It's not like the other Godzillas where you're like, oh, he's just like confused and he's just an animal, and then he like an anti-hero where like something else comes around and he'll help you. He'll help the humans defeat Mothra. Like, no, this one's just an asshole.
No, leave. You see him, just leave.
He's just here to fuck shit up, man.
Yeah.
I thought shit was so funny. So the main character, he wakes up in the hospital and they're like, yeah, we all survived, but the government's not talking about it. They're not telling us anything. It's like typical fucking government keeping shit from us. Mm. So I thought that was really funny. And then he's like, okay, shit, Godzilla is going to come back. I know it. We got to come up with a plan. So, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, the government is going to come up with something. The government doesn't come up with something. Godzilla shows up. He beats up all of these freaking tanks and all these tankers and just fuck shit up. He uses his blue breath again. There's like reporters on the roof that are like, like they're like doing the freaking news, and Godzilla just like fucks their shit up. Like, it was so good. Oh man. But here's the problem, man. Right before this happened, his wife is like, hey, I want to help out. Not his wife, but like, you know, his girl. He's like, yeah, I want to help out. I'm going to get a job. And also, we're not married. So like, you know,
no.
I need to be able to get out of here once, right? If I want to find a husband, I need to like be independent, get my own shit. So she gets the job in Ginza, and he's like, oh shit, like she's in Ginza and I have to go save her. So she's in this train. Godzilla's like chewing this train, and she's like hanging on the edge of it, like Mission Impossible. Like, yeah. It's freaking crazy. And then she gets dropped in the water, and you're like, cool, thank God, she's all right. And then next scene, you see her just walking around the city towards Godzilla again. I'm like, no, bitch, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was really, really funny. And then somehow, magically, the main guy finds her in this crowd of like all of these people. And you're like, okay, good, he's gonna get her to safety. So they get to this thing, and they get to like this edge of a building, and Godzilla starts fucking shit up. Like, he just starts like doing crazy stuff, and he starts blowing stuff away. And as he does that, she pushes him out the way, and she just gets like blown to smithereens. And here I'm just like, what the hell just happened? I did not expect that to happen. I did not expect her to die at this moment. And I'm just like, what's going on here? Like, I was shook. How did you feel about that?
I was shook too. I was expecting the other way. I thought he's going to push her to the edge of the building.
Yeah.
The side of the building. But she got blown away. I was like, what? Again, survivor's guilt for this guy.
Yeah.
On top.
People, people keep saving him, and he's just like, and like, what at this point, I was kind of annoyed at the movie because I was like, oh, great, they're going to fridge this woman to push his character development, right? And I'm just like, oh, great, you know, but that's not what happened, or did it? So, like, we're like, okay, cool. So, we're watching this, and then he's like upset, and then Godzilla just wreaked havoc on the town. And like, they just got through World War II where they had like two bombs broken on, then they had this like monster who has atomic breath again destroy them, and they're like, bro, we can't catch a break. The government's not freaking helping us, so we have to come up with a plan. So they come up with this plan using Freon and using the pressure, and they're like, okay, we're gonna sink him to the bottom of the ocean, and then we're gonna bring him up really fast, and the pressure is gonna make his head explode. That's how we'll defeat him. And the guy's like, okay, fine, cool. And then they go out to dinner, and they have like, you know, a dinner or something, and they're like, realize that this guy has like guilt about like what he, you know, how, what Godzilla did to this woman. He wants like revenge or something, right? And they're like, no, if you wanted to do right by her, you should have married her while you had the chance. I was like, yo, this guy is telling him off. And I was like, yeah, bro, like, bro, you should have married her. She saved your life. That's crazy.
That's, again, I feel bad for this guy. I mean, he's going through it.
He's going through it, man. Homie is going through it. Yeah, so they come up with this plan, and he's like, this plan is not enough. We need a backup. I need a plane. And they find this plane for him, and they're like, okay, but like, it's an old plane, and somebody's got to like fix it. Mm-hmm. He's like, I know a guy. This is like his Avengers moment where he's like, I know a guy, like Ant-Man. And like, but this guy doesn't want anything to do with him. This guy hates him. So what he does is he writes him a letter blaming him for all the people that died on the island. So this motherfucker is like, yo, I'm going to kill this guy. So he finds him, beats the shit out of him. And he goes, no, I just did that to get you here. Listen, we need to save everybody from Godzilla. And then he tries to convince him to become the mechanic so that he could fly this plane and distract Godzilla and get Godzilla where they need to get him. And, you know, this guy shows up, they convince him, and then they have a little montage of them, like, fixing the plane and, you know, kind of being friends again. I don't know. I really, really enjoyed this portion of it. This little redemption arc and them working together. I really, really liked it. The fact that, like, they took this character who was, like, 5 minutes in the beginning of the movie, and now he comes back as, like, this main character, like, really, really well done. I like the way that they brought it back.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is pissed off at him because, you know, he pretty much killed everyone in the beginning of the film, but now he's back. He's helping out for the greater good. It's a good redeeming quality or redeeming character here.
Yeah.
And again, that plane, that was a good looking plane there.
Yeah, it was a nice plane. Like, it's got the, it's like a special tail spin kind of plane. I thought it was really cool. And then what they do is, this guy keeps talking about dying. He was like, I should have died when I was the kamikaze pilot. I should have died when Godzilla attacked. But like, now I'm going to do it. And, you know, this whole time you're like, okay, this guy's entire story arc is going to be about him finally dying and being brave and stuff like that, right? And you're like, okay, I guess that's where they're going. So Godzilla comes, and he's already on land. And they're like, shit, we got to get him to the ocean. So he gets on his plane, he takes him to the ocean. Also, before this happens, there's another guy with them who's young, who also wants to fight, and they're like, no, you can't. Yeah. Get your ass home. You're not gonna be able to fight. And he's like, no, I want to fight. And he's also being like very dramatic and very anime like. And
it was raining too.
Yeah, it was like raining and stuff like that. Such an anime moment. And they just kind of just leave him, and then you kind of just forget about him afterwards. But as this guy is like leading Godzilla into the water, Godzilla finally reaches where they're supposed to reach him. He goes to the buoys. They surround him. They're like, good, now let's use the Freon. So they use the Freon, and they sink him all the way at the bottom. And then they're like, okay, it worked. Now, my ass was like, yo, he's down there. Just leave him there. But I guess, like, once the Freon, like, whatever, expires, he'll probably come back up. So I was like, crap. So they're like, okay, now it's time to bring him back up. So as they were trying to bring him back up, he starts chewing through the Freon, which prevents him from coming back up. So if he's coming up gradually, he's not going to feel the pressure and it's not going to kill him. So again, Godzilla just starts fucking shit up for everybody. What are your thoughts about this part?
It's a great part of the movie because you think, you know, it's over. But again, Godzilla, he is the complete a-hole of not giving a F about anyone. He comes up back up, you know, and also, again, the part that always scares me is like he always regenerates his like body and stuff. I'm like, how can you defeat this guy?
I know, man. He's freaking crazy. All right. So also, I really like this speech that the doctor gave, and he was like saying things like, you know, war is to be one for the living, right? Not for the dead or something like that is what he really talked about. I don't know. I thought it was really, really cool. And then as they're fighting Godzilla, like we see his neighbor get a telegram and you're like, what the fuck is this? At this point, I'm like, this is so fucking random. Why'd you get? I had no idea what the telegram was about. Did you have any idea?
Because no, I didn't.
Yeah. I was like, this bitch getting mail in the middle of a freaking like, Godzilla attacking. So I thought, like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. So it was really, really funny, but it was cool. So they're fighting Godzilla. This is happening. And now they're trying to, like, bring Godzilla back up using the cranes. And the cranes are, like, breaking. They're like, we don't know what to do. And then, like, Godzilla has this like Avengers moment where it's like the young kid shows up with like a whole bunch of boats to kind of like save the day, and all these like little tugboats come out to help. And I was like, oh, they had their little like Avengers moment. It's like on your left, he's just like,
yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like also like Dunkirk at the end.
Yeah,
if you saw that. Yeah,
Dunkirk, a Star Wars of the two, and the
last one.
The last one, yeah. So, like, it's a trope. I get it. But, like, they did it in a really good way. I really, really liked it. But, yeah, I thought that was cool. So, as they come to, you know, help, the Godzilla starts wrecking shit again. And he's about to go atomic. Like, you see the blue stuff coming up and you're like, oh,
run.
Shit. This is going to be bananas, right? I was like, they're all going to die. There's nothing they can do about the atomic breath. And then this guy comes in and he crashes right into his mouth, blows up the plane, and blows up Godzilla. And I was like, okay, I saw this coming. And I was like, yes, he killed himself, blah, blah, blah. This was his whole story arc. I get it. And I was like, okay, good. I'm glad Godzilla's dead. I knew this was a little predictable. So I was like, whatever. And then when I saw this man coming down in a parachute, I was like, oh my God, my heart. He lives. He lives. He has a child. He wants to live for the child. He's like, you know, I love the idea that like he didn't need to die in this movie. Like, and then you realize that's the whole point of the movie. And you're like, oh my God, this is an amazing movie. This is not about Godzilla at all. It's about him.
Yeah. The movie should be about him. His name. The character's name is like Kochi, something like that.
Yeah,
it should be named that. But yeah, it kind of reminded me of Dark Knight Rises, where Batman.
Batman fixed the autopilot.
He was like Batman there.
Yeah, it was definitely like a Batman moment. It was really cool. I like that. And then I was very happy with the way it was ending. I was like, okay, I'm super happy with this. Like, I'm like, nothing can make this movie better. And then he goes and he sees his child, and I was like, oh great, his child here, he's alive, everyone's alive, I'm so happy, everyone's alive, none of the characters had to die. Like, I love that. And then like this neighbor lady gives him the telegram, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. What the fuck is this? What the fuck is going on here? And then like he goes into this room, and he opens the door, and it's a hospital, and his girl is alive. Yo, I was like, this movie couldn't get any better. I was like, oh my God, this movie got better.
I mean, how did she survive? I don't know, but
I don't know. I'm not asking questions. I'm just glad she's alive. I'm glad they're a family.
Family's back together. Yeah, that's a great moment, and also like big emotions. You see big him emotion. Crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how you ended the movie.
Yeah, he better put a ring on it now. I swear to God.
If he doesn't, then he's the villain.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I don't know. You think they hooked up in between the time of like getting married and like all the time they spent together?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, he got that atomic breath from her. Like, I don't know.
Godzilla minus two right there.
Also, like I forgot why it's called Godzilla minus one. The reason it's called Godzilla minus one is because when World War II happened and they dropped the bomb, they called it Japan zero.
Yeah.
So it was at zero, and minus ones means like one less than zero. So that's like how they refer to it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. So the movie ends really great. I'm like, perfect ending. And then in true MCU after credit fashion, we see like Godzilla's brain or heart still like pumping, and he's like going to regenerate. And I was like, this motherfucker's Deadpool. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, he's Deadpool, he's Wolverine, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back for maybe a sequel. I heard they're making a sequel now. I don't know.
I really hope they don't, but like, I wouldn't mind. Like, I don't know. Godzilla minus two, is that what it's going to be called?
Maybe. But
I just feel like it's such a perfect Godzilla movie that it doesn't need a sequel. But like, if it makes money, yeah, they're going to squeeze every ounce of this franchise.
There's a Japanese Godzilla movie came out 2016. Godzilla Shin. I never saw that one.
Yeah.
Was that connected to this one, or is it just by itself?
No, it's by itself. It's not connected to this one. But Shin's pretty good too. There's a lot of good Godzilla movies out there, but they're just like all focused on Godzilla. I feel like this is the one that like was the most emotional.
Yeah, that
like,
makes sense.
Like I was like, when I found out that she was alive, I was like, yo, I was like in tears. I was so happy. Like, I don't cry at sad things, but I counted like happy moments, and I was like, that's such a happy moment. I'm so happy for them. They're gonna be a family finally.
hopefully.
No, man, but it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. I don't see a monster movie being as emotional as this, and it's just such a way that they decide to go about this movie, I think, was just so smart. Probably have never been done before. I was really, really happy with it.
Yeah, I'm trying to relate, like I think I said before, like the 2014 one, but my guilty pleasure Godzilla movie was with the one I grew up with was 1998, my Matthew Broderick one. They say everyone says that's the worst one, but it is, but it kind of like, you know, it warms my heart because that. But there are better Godzilla films like this one.
Yeah. This one is probably my favorite. I do like Godzilla versus Kong. I think that one is really good too.
That one's good too. The new one's coming out, Godzilla versus X Kong. Yeah. I don't know about you, but that's from the trailer, at least. I don't know if it's finished or not. The CGI is just terrible.
Yeah. Like, this one used practical effects, and they did it with so little money. And it came out great, man. It came out so good. Like, I really hate this idea of, like, spending so much on CGI because, like, CGI kind of just, like, ruins everything for me. That's why all my favorite movies at the moment are still movies without CGI. Like, I like The Dark Knight, still love that movie. I love Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Very little special effects, you know, very little CGI. Those stand up. Like, I'll watch some movies, like, after years, and they don't. Like, you watch the Star Wars prequels, and I like the Star Wars prequels, but the special effects do not hold up.
They don't. I mean, if you film, like, if you watch something in 4K and it's filmed by, like, not digitally, but it was filmed.
Yeah.
You can see, like, how great it is. But if it's filmed digitally, it does not look great, like, after a long time. I don't know if you know that one, that part.
No, for example, like, I got a new 4K TV. And then if you play, like, a movie like Aquaman 1 that came out a while ago, like, you can see the green screen in the back. Like, you can tell. It's just, like, you can just tell it's just so bad. Whereas like practical effects, like they hold up. Like you watch Gremlins, which was made in the 80s, like the puppets and stuff, they hold up.
They look good. They gotta go back to the old ways, but right now it's all digital.
Yeah. But I don't know. It seems like a waste of money, and it's not that good, and it doesn't stand the test of time. This movie, I could see standing the test of time. And, like, look, it's not perfect. I feel like there are some wonky scenes in here, too. I'm sure there are. Mm-hmm. But it's still really good. I heard, like we mentioned earlier, like, they're going to make it in black and white, which is interesting because of, like, the old Godzilla styles.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool, but, like, I was like, they got to keep the blue. They got to keep the blue in there because when his, like, Atomic Breath shows up and it's in blue, it just looks so dope.
I get it. It's radiant and it's most, like, noticeable. But I feel like, I don't know. I think in black and white, it's going to be, what, the blue is going to be, what, black?
Or yeah. White? So it's probably going to be white.
White. So it doesn't have the same effect. Fact, but people do like the old school style of black and white. I don't know if you watched the movie The Mist, with that horror film. They released that in black and white, and everyone loves that version. So it's coming in theaters in black and white. I don't know if it's gonna come into the States, but we'll see.
All right, cool. All right, anything else you want to say about this movie before we go?
Watch it in theaters if you can. Don't watch it at home. If you were going to watch it at home, get in 4K, of course.
Yeah.
Watching theaters. I saw it in Dolby. So the sound.
Yeah.
Mind, if I have to repeat Russell Peters, mind blasting, I'll say.
Yeah. No, it's really, really good. Definitely recommend it in theaters. And I don't know why we're telling you now. We should have told you in the beginning because at this point we spoiled everything for you. But yeah, man, thank you for coming on the show. Let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Brownboy Wonders. But I do have a podcast, Brownboy Wonder Podcast. It's on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just follow me there.
All right, man. Thank you so much. And everybody listening, don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you thought about Godzilla. Did you like it? Did you hate it? What are your thoughts? And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.